Hello, my name is Tim Law with Success Learning Systems, and today I am honored to be interviewing Suzanne Buxbaum of the Family Matters Group, who has been working on behalf of families of children and adults with special needs for more than 20 years, providing direct advocacy services throughout California. You may want to take some notes as you listen to these ideas during this presentation. Suzanne, what got you started on this pathway of helping others as you do?
I have a son who was born with special needs. He has some learning disabilities, a variety of learning disabilities. They're language-based, and he is also has ADD type 1, which is the hyperactive version. And
okay.
I was substitute teaching, and I was also doing some tutoring after school, and it seemed to me that all the kids that I was working with had something different about how they learned. And that's when I went back to grad school to find out more about special education and learning differences and that whole piece of business.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
it originated from my family. I hadn't had that. I don't know what I would be doing right now.
Sure. Well, and I was looking at your site, and it sounds like a lot of the people that you've been involved with and know, a lot of them kind of got passionate because of having a child that, different ways of learning and that kind of thing. Is that fairly accurate?
That's absolutely true. In fact, when I was, I worked for an organization that was contracted out to Monterey County to provide wraparound services, and this is to help with the reunification of families. It's a system and a process that's been around for many, many years. It's been used all over our country and Canada and Europe, everywhere. And I was interviewing new folks that were going to either interview as facilitators or interview as family specialists, all working with these families and these kids with special needs. And when I interviewed them, I would ask them, how did you decide that you wanted to go into social work, or how did you get into this kind of business? What made this your choice as opposed to working in pharmaceuticals or something else? And with only one exception in my career, I've only once asked that question and has the answer not been because it had something to do with someone's personal experience, either a family member, extended family member, next-door neighbor, but typically it's been a pretty close relative.
Well, people will do amazing things as far as their, children or family is concerned. That's for sure.
That's right, and they will do whatever it takes and whatever needs to be done. That's my experience. And usually by the time they call me, they have gone past crisis in terms of how they frame what's happened to them. And we talk about everything that's happened. I let them tell me their story before I read their story through all the documents that they have. And see, what do you need? Where do you need to go from here? And most often, these are people that have tried everything on their own, and it's been unsuccessful. And they need to, one thing that's important is they need to be heard. And if every school district in the United States knew this, they could save so much time out of the due process arena, it would be unbelievable. Just listening carefully to somebody's story is often what they need more than anything. Advice that is simple is the second thing, but it isn't rocket science.
So if you could discuss a couple of the couple cases that really kind of stand out in your mind where you had, some of your best, most gratifying successes, what would you say, if you could give a couple of those stories, that would be great.
I'll tell you this, that every family, the thing that keeps me interested in what I do is that every family situation is different. And yet we are all so much alike. We can usually identify in some way, regardless of where they're from, if they're from Arkansas or they're from Texas or they're from Southern California, we have things in common. And I think that for the most part, having every single case have a very different spin and being successful with each one, and I feel like I am successful. And that might sound arrogant, but
No, it's not. When you can do it, it's not bragging, Suzanne.
Well, if I get the family what they want, and if what they want may not be right on target, and I can help them understand what they need, then I feel like I've done the right thing. It's really hard for me to say one family that I've worked with. I just recently, my clients, by the way, have changed over the years. I used to have mostly teenagers that were coming to me and their families, and now I have parents, many, many parents who have children with autism who are now my clients. And I just was able to make it possible for a child to attend a special school that is in Santa Cruz, California, called the Bay School, and make it possible for the district to fund that placement, because although we always have to look at the least restrictive environment for a child, so we want to have inclusion as the most possible thing rather than send a child away or put them in a separate class where they're with, you know, where they're off somewhere in the back of the school someplace, a building that no one can find. I think that by getting that just wrapped up for a family that was very, very anxious, that was a real success for me. Those are always winners for me. And the idea is that it's going to be a short-term thing, that this is going to be a thing that will benefit this child and give him tools to come back and be included in the public school system.
I have
clients, some of them, with more than one child with autism, with a that is on the autistic spectrum disorder and someplace in that range. And to have one child with autism is one thing. To have two in your home is really unbelievably difficult for families. And there are big stressors that are, you know, come from between the marriage, and sometimes we've got families that end up not being able to manage it together, and dad leaves because it's been too much, and mom's spending too much time on the kids, and schools aren't providing everything, and it's the relationships are very difficult, and the families become very isolated because not everyone knows how to act around a child who is on the autistic spectrum. And neighbors are not sure if they want that child over at their house. Even family members will be critical of the family. And those are all kind of tough bullets to bite for young couples, you know, especially single moms.
Sure.
I mean, that's really a tough one.
No, it makes total sense. You've obviously, with the work that you've done over the years, you probably have you know, there's a good quote, you know, intelligence is the ability to make better distinctions in our life. And with some of the up-close and personal cases you've had, I'm sure you see certain patterns as far as, you know, some of the similarities, even though, like you said, a lot of the cases are different. Some of the similarities or ideas or tips or ideas you could possibly give for a parent, because, again, everybody moves toward goals, rewards, pleasure. They move away from pain and penalties. And sometimes, you know, the pain has to become so severe before people will actually, you know, act on it. And what would be some things that you might suggest to, you know, some of the parents?
The families?
The families, yes.
One is that I would suggest that they tell the truth, that I've heard everything. I've done this for so long, but I am sure I've heard everything by now. They're not going to appall me or make me run screaming from the building. But if they keep a secret, if we have families who keep secrets, and that is not unusual because some families do believe, oh, my gosh, if she hears this, she'll never take the case. It's much better if I hear it up front. It's hard to be surprised in a meeting with, and did you know that this child was a perpetrator kind of thing. That really makes my job awkward and uncomfortable. And then I don't do a very good job doing it. It compromises my ability to be successful. That tell the truth is one thing. The other thing is I think that for families to not presume that I'm going to go in with a gun and a big stick when I go to a meeting with them, with the district or whomever, if we go to due process and we're in before an administrative law judge. My approach is that, you know, I would like to have everybody play nicely together. And also not for it to be an adversarial situation that districts, and our county is one thing, but in other places it's quite similar. Districts sometimes don't know what to do, or they haven't heard the whole story, or they have just not been aware, and the parents haven't been clear with them about what they think their needs are. And so that's just, you know, another part of that. I think families need to do something that I think professionals need to remember that they should do, and that is to listen to important professionals, people with credibility, and to tune in to who those important people are, not listen to the news, not listen to their next-door neighbor or their aunt or someone living in another county or something on the Internet unless they've checked it out. I think it's families who don't do that end up getting all kinds of false information and often getting revved up about stuff that isn't even their problem and sometimes running with something that isn't the case.
Well, there's just so much misinformation out there that, as you say, if you're taking it from somebody that really hasn't had the experience of seeing the number of patterns that you or maybe some of the people you've trained have actually seen, as the old saying goes, that and 50 cents will get you a cheap cup of coffee, you know? It's not
That's not worth very
much.
Well, you know, I think that as a professional, I think it's important for us to not speak out of our scope of practice. And it's very easy for this to happen because parents will often say to me, well, what do you think is really the cause of autism? I mean, I've read this book by so-and-so. What do you think? Well, I can tell them what I think, but I need to make sure that I preface it with, this is just my opinion and it's out of my scope of practice, but. And that phrase has to be before my opinion. Because I'm not a neurologist. I haven't done a double-blind study. I don't know all of this stuff, and I know what I've read, and the resources that I call upon would be the Journal for American Medical Association, the pediatric version, or from neurologists that I know that I think are excellent colleagues and really know stuff and stay on top of things. That seems to be the best way to go. I think that professionals need to be very careful about what we speak about as though it's our information, we're the expert. I think I have a narrow area of expertise. I'm an expert in education law. I do know a lot about psychology. I have a master's in psychology, but on the other hand, I don't practice. I'm not a psychotherapist. I don't have a license. That's not something that I do. And for me to make a diagnosis or to take just a shot at it, well, it sounds to me like borderline, no, I should not even go there. We need, when we talk about things, we should talk about what we know.
No, excellent thoughts and excellent advice, Suzanne. I couldn't agree with you more. One more tip or idea that you think would be useful for the families?
For families. The other thing is for them to get some information, and that might be from a therapist or someone like me or someone in a related field or maybe from an educator about who needs to know what, because not everyone needs to know everything about your child. I think that you want to be sure that you're, you know, absolutely clear with a school. If you have changed medications for your child, you want to make sure that they know that, because there could be effects that happen the next day, and nobody likes surprises. We're back to that again. And so I think that's just a part of it. Another part of it.
Absolutely. No, that makes a lot of sense. Suzanne, this has been fantastic. I wanted to let our listeners know how could they contact you to learn more on how this program could help them?
They can contact me by my website at www.familymattersgroup.com, or they can send me an email to suzanne@familymattersgroup.com. On my website, they can click on the website and send me an email to find out more about workshops that I have that are coming up or what I'm up to in the next, if I'm going to be speaking somewhere, that kind of thing.
Very
and
good.
I often give a little bit of advice on the phone. I try not to do that because it takes up a lot of time, and
mm-hmm.
I end up doing things that I shouldn't be doing and then racing to the next thing I should be doing. And however, when I have a family that's calling me from another state and someone's crying on the other end of the phone, it's really hard to say, well, I'm sorry, I have a meeting I have to go to. You'll have to call me another time. So I will typically, you know, at least give them a little bit of direction. Here's who you really need to talk to. Don't bother doing this unless make sure it's in writing, all things like that. Just little tips that are out there for everybody.
Very good. Excellent. Well, Suzanne, this really has been great. I really believe you've shared some wonderful information. I hear that it's going to be very helpful, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the very near future, and I will be sending you the link for this teleseminar.
All right. I thank you very much. It's been interesting hearing from you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Suzanne. I will definitely be in touch.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.